Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
Please open with me in your Bibles to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 6, verse 16 through 18. We're doing a sermon series on Matthew 6, which is smack dab in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter 5, he was speaking about kingdom living, our morality in public and private life. Chapter 6, he moves to the topic of piety, our walks with God and our religious duties and services and the means of grace. We began in chapter 6, verse 1, distinguishing between the two, and then we jumped here to 16 through 18 to discuss the theme of fasting with prayer before we go back to almsgiving and praying early in chapter 6. And of course, we did that because about 2 weeks ago, I began the countdown of 40 days until Easter. And some of you have begun to involve yourselves in prayer and fasting and preparation for that Easter season. If by chance you have not yet made a commitment to involve yourself in some form of spiritual fasting, you can still get into the action. There's still 1 month until Easter. And tonight we're going to look at the theme of fasting and how one actually goes about it. Maybe 2 weeks ago you heard some challenging words about the benefits of fasting, but you hadn't quite figured out what does it look like in my daily life. Well, tonight we're going to cover that such that if you feel led by God's Spirit to engage in a fast for the next month, you'll know more from the scriptures how to do so with benefit. And so let's read Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Matthew 6, verses 16 through 18. And we will begin with our sermon. Verse 16, this is God's word. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The word of the Lord. Let's pause now to go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we wait patiently upon you, an Old Testament expression of faith, to wait patiently upon God. We are waiting as your people for your Spirit to sovereignly pour forth in number 30, 60, and 100-fold of blessings. We are using the means of grace, Lord, the word, the sacraments, and prayer. We're heightening our prayers with the practice of fasting even these 40 days prior to Easter. And Lord, all of these are efforts to open our hearts up to your sovereign grace. We pray you would renew us, Lord, and revitalize us, refresh us, reform us. We pray that our homes, our marriages, our family life, the church life, the community life, our role as local, national, and global citizens, as followers of Christ, would be renewed and enlightened in the mind of Christ with renewed wills. Lord, you are the author and finisher of such faith and grace, and so we can only but ask you, bless this sermon for the advancing of your grace and kingdom in our lives. Extend your grace extensively, intensively into the people here and extensively into our community. Oh Lord, this is our prayer. Heighten these prayers and bless them now for the sake of Jesus. In his name we pray, and let us all say, amen. So my question to you tonight is there something big on your horizon? Do you sense a need for personal breakthrough? Has there been a season of sterility or coldness or lifelessness? And you sense a growing hunger within you for the grace of God to cover you like the waters cover the sea. Are you ready to take it to the next level with God? The next level in your walk with your family, your church, and community by the grace of God. If this is your desire, then today I'd like to encourage you to consider prayer with fasting. Easter is still 1 month away. You've not lost your chance to make use of still this wintertime season to draw nearer to God before spring sends us scattering to the four corners of the earth. And you know it will. It comes gradually through the month of April, and then by the month of May as graduations and parties and celebrations pick up, and then off we are to the June races. I know West Michigan. I've been here 12 years, and I'm leading the pack. See you guys next September, we sometimes think. Are you ready to invest the next month to draw nearer to God in a way you've never before? If so, I want to urge you to involve yourself this month in the practice of prayer and fasting, because whenever you want to find yourself wanting to grow, to expand, to deepen, to take it to the next level with God, you should consider the gift of prayer with fasting. As we covered 2 weeks ago when I preached on the topic, religious fasting means to abstain from something, usually food, for a spiritual purpose. 2 weeks ago, we talked about many things you can fast from. You can fast from food or drink or desserts or chocolate, even iPhones or smartphones or video games or anything in your life that once removed helps you get a reality check and get closer to God, closer to one another through prayer. Fasting is an outward action that leads to an inner change. As the saying goes, we fast from food so we can feast on God. Now, it's not a magical wand. No, fasting is a motivator to help people draw closer to God through prayer. In our last sermon, we talked about the rewards of fasting, which are mentioned the final phrase of this verse. We mentioned drawing nearer to God as a reward, or showing God you are sorry, learning self-control, getting closer to God and others, and feeling great, growing in self-control. But today, we're going to address the topic, how do you do it? How do you fast? That's our first point, how do you do it? One day, a father announced to his family that he was going to engage in fasting and prayer. And his five-year-old shouted, "Daddy, you can't fast. You'll die." So dad had to explain to the child, "Honey, many men and women fasted in the Bible days," to which the child responded, "Exactly, and they all died." How do you go about fasting without dying, physically or otherwise? Well, the Bible describes fasting in three main forms, and we're going to talk about all three tonight, and I'm going to challenge you to accept one of those forms and apply it to your life in the next 30 days. Three main forms of fasting. For simplicity, we're going to call them the absolute fast, the normal fast, and the partial fast. Let's start with absolute. The absolute fast, and I have to admit, this one is the hard one. And it's the one usually people have in mind when they hear of fasting and they say, "I'm not doing that." It is pretty hard, the absolute fast. It involves eating no food, drinking no drink, usually no water, normally 3 days or less. This is one you really shouldn't do for 40 days. I remember when I was in the Haiti earthquake and we were doing disaster relief, and I learned during that time what's called the 4-4-40 rule. Tens of thousands of people were under rubble in Port-au-Prince. Little did I or Ben Hopp, our missionary, and their family know how many people would be touched by this earthquake. And as we began to dig with tools in our hands to get people out of the rubble in Port-au-Prince, we were reminded of the 4-4-40 rule. The human brain can go 4 minutes without oxygen. The human body can go 4 days without water. The human body can go 40 days without food. Now, there are some exceptions, and I remember in Haiti, people being pulled out 7 and 8 and 9 days after the rubble with no water, and they lived. But that's the general rule. Even though the body can go long periods of time without food, it can go much less time without water. And so, in the Bible, we see this only occurring some of the time. Ezra mourns over widespread unbelief during the exile, and so Ezra spends one night consuming no bread, no water. Ezra chapter 10, verse 6. Then there was Queen Esther in that crisis of the identity of the people of Israel. Queen Esther commands Mordecai to neither eat nor drink for 3 days and nights during a national calamity and emergency. Esther 4, verse 16. Of course, on the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus meets the Lord Jesus, and he is blinded and dazed after meeting our resurrected Lord, and he fasted for an absolute fast for 3 days, Acts 9, verse 9. Now, there are a few examples in the scripture that speak of an absolute fast that clearly required some kind of supernatural, miraculous aid from heaven. Moses did two of them. They were 40 days, back-to-back super fast, no food, no water. It was during the giving of the law. Wow, I mean, the most redemptively impactful event in the Old Testament, short of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also, secondly, after the golden calf incident, which was the single most dangerous sin ever committed by the people of Israel when God was ready to destroy them all. And start again with Moses. We read about that in Deuteronomy 9:9 and Deuteronomy 9:18. There's also that very strange incident, you know, where Elijah has just won the battle against the prophets of Baal, and he's being chased by King Ahab, and he runs for 40 days through the desert, 40 days and 40 nights without food or water, 1 Kings 19, verse 8. But I would suggest we set those aside as special cases, and we can conclude that the absolute fast is reserved for exceptional situations and spiritual emergencies. Some of you have those going on in your life. Exceptional situations, extreme emergencies for church, for family, for community, for profoundly important, precarious, even dangerous circumstances. And if this indeed is your case, this is your tool, the absolute fast. Now, if you choose to do an absolute fast, you're going to need to make sure that your activity is restricted during that. It's one you really can't do while you work. A good time to do it might be during a retreat, by yourself, when you're away for a day, half a day, 24 hours, something of that nature. A time when you are ready to focus fully, body and soul, upon God. You have to be careful when you prepare for an absolute fast. Now, it's certainly difficult, but the absolute fast can be the most powerful kind of fast, because you are setting yourself so totally upon God that your prayer and your communion will be long, it will be rich, it will be powerful, it'll be focused. Maybe you should do this a week or two before a big event in your life. Maybe a week or two before a big decision to be made. An absolute fast. Now, I have to confess, I don't have a ton of experience in absolute fast. I've only done it a few times for short periods of time, but it does take planning, it takes preparation. You might even want to talk to your medical health professional about it before you engage in it in any way, shape, or form. The absolute fast. Now, the second kind of fast, we move from the absolute fast to a second kind of fast, which is a more popular kind of fast. We're calling it the normal fast. The normal fast. Now, the normal fast involves abstaining from food, but not from water. Make sense? Abstaining from food, but drinking plenty of water, plenty of liquids. And this seems to be the kind of fast we just read about that our Lord Jesus Christ did in the desert for 40 days. In Luke chapter 4, verse 2, we read it earlier, we are told that Jesus ate nothing. It says nothing about him drinking nothing. Then at the end of that fast, the text says that Jesus was hungry. It says nothing about him being thirsty. And of course, during that fast, what was one thing Satan tempted Jesus to eat? You know, bread to turn. But he mentions nothing about drink or water. He tempts him with food, bread, through a stone. So all of this suggests that Jesus was fasting from food, but not from water. And as I mentioned, the human body ordinarily cannot survive 40 days without water unless divine miracle. And so we call this the normal fast. Now, this is a difficult fast, but with water coming in you, you don't have to worry about it as much. In fact, often Americans who aren't very diet sensitive will eat food when we're actually just thirsty. But we've gotten out of the habit of drinking water. And so we think when we feel this sensation, it's really thirst, but we confuse it with hunger. And so we go eat food instead of drinking a nice, good glass of cold water and feeling the refreshment that our body is asking. Now, water will come in and you won't have to worry about that, but you will notice your energy drops. And so you may need to adjust your activity when you do a normal fast. Of course, during this time, one of the best activities to do is to focus on the scriptures that talk about God and Jesus as food. Right? That's the whole purpose. It's so that when we think about that hunger, we think about Jesus as being the bread of life, and we pray, Lord, fill me with the bread of life, because man does not live by bread alone. You might think about Jesus as heavenly manna, a divine gift in the desert of life, coming out of nowhere, falling upon you from the hand of God. Even as you think about drinking, Jesus as the living water in the river of life. Every time you feel those hunger pains, it should remind you of the nourishment you need from God. And of course, every time you get thirsty, as you drink the water, think about Jesus being that refreshment, that life-giving river of life flowing out of you. Now, with the normal fast, you're going to find yourself needing to step into the ladies' room or men's room more often. It does happen, so you need to be somewhere where you can do that, as you drink a lot more water than you ordinarily would. But other than that, it's not as hard. Maybe you could even schedule an absolute fast or a normal fast on a special day off or on a Saturday or when you have a big decision or a big event in your life. A normal fast. Now, here's the third kind of fast. We've talked about the absolute fast. We've talked about the normal fast. This third kind of fast, and this is one that I encourage you, if you're new to fasting, this is your fast. So listen up. This is where you begin. To make a partial fast part of your regular week. Now, a partial fast involves a diet restriction. It's a diet restriction. Maybe you abstain from food, but drink water and juice. Or maybe you abstain from luxuries that you really know you've grown to love. You love them so much, they're almost a surrogate God. They're a surrogate provider, a surrogate happiness. You know the ones I'm talking about. Chocolate, sugar, coffee, sweets and candy, technology, social media. Now, this is instances, as you withdraw them from your lives, you're going to have some kind of pain, some kind of discomfort, but the benefit will be that when you feel it, your mind suddenly reminds you what's going on, and it will draw you nearer to God. Now, in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel mourns for 3 weeks, and during the 3 weeks, he eats no delicacies, no meat, no wine, Daniel 10, verses 2 and 3. And the result? In that chapter, Daniel 10, that's not the vegetable chapter early on. This is later in that same book. Daniel wins a spiritual victory over the dark powers during that time. Now, as a younger man earlier in the book of Daniel, he and his companions insisted on eating only vegetables and water while they were in exile. And what happened? God gave them energy, health, power, vitality. This was the practice of John the Baptist also in the desert. John the Baptist maintained this very simple diet. He lives on locust and wild honey, and he also chooses simple clothing, camel's hair and a leather belt. You see, this left him strong, energetic, and rugged for a strong prophetic ministry. There are many other examples of a partial fast. Some people have partially fasted by omitting a certain meal each day. Instead of taking a meal, they go off somewhere and spend that mealtime in prayer alone with God. The partial fast is also flexible. That's what I like about it. When you can't do a normal fast, a partial fast can replace it. Maybe you're a busy student. Maybe you're a busy mom, a busy worker. Whatever it may be, you can't set aside a whole day. Well, a partial fast allows you to go through a pretty normal day, but still enjoy the benefits of fasting. Or maybe you're in a stage of life where it just wouldn't be wise to engage in a normal fast. Maybe you are an elderly person, maybe you are a child, or someone who has a physical challenge that you simply should not do an outright fast. Consider a partial fast. What I like about partial fasts is they can even be stepping stones to a normal fast for those who've never fasted before. Oh, one other caveat. It's so important to mix up your fasting as well, and I found that to be the case. Do you know that your body can adjust to your fast more quickly than you believe? You might end up stop thinking about food as much, and when it becomes so easy, your mind won't focus on God in prayer, and that's the goal of the fast. And so to counter this, you have to shift things up. You might lengthen your fast. You might add to your partial fast, a normal fast or a partial total fast. Not all the time, but every now and then. But whatever you do, don't keep doing the same thing over and over again, because fasting can lose its effectiveness. Okay, so those are the three kinds of fasts that we find in the Bible: the absolute fast, the normal fast, the partial fast. And I hope you begin enjoying one of them right away. As I was preparing for these 40 days, I began fasting, as I mentioned to you a few weeks ago. And I've done it partially, and I've done it normally, and I'm praying that God would bring into me, my family, my congregation, my community, renewal, revival, and reformation, and I am waiting on the Lord. And you know what? It's working. And it can work for you. This brings us to our next point. The first was how to fast. The second one is, how often should you fast? All right, how often should one fast? All right, well, at a minimum, fasting should be done on special occasions, the Bible teaches, as the need arrives. In the Bible, for example, Jesus and his apostles don't lay down rigid rules about fasting. Apart from the phrase we read, when you fast, when you fast. And so the frequency that you engage in fasting is really a matter of Christian liberty. It is a personal matter between you and the Lord. Now, it's helpful to notice in the Old Testament, believers were required to fast once a year on the Day of Atonement. By the time of Zechariah, they were required to fast at least four times a year, Zechariah 8, verse 19. But by the time of Christ, those Pharisees had turned fasting into a legalistic custom. And in order to be pious, do you remember what they taught about fasting? You had to do it two times a week. They did it on Mondays and Thursdays. And that kind of legislation is not good. Because you see, anytime the church requires fasting beyond what the scriptures requires, abuse always shows up. And it did. In church history, the post-apostolic church started requiring fasting every Wednesday and Friday. Soon it became an obligation, and manuals were written, rules were supplied. None of the rules could be found in the scriptures, and fasting became a heavy yoke placed on the neck of the church that neither Jesus taught nor the church could bear, and it was too much. In fact, because of that, it may be why some of us in our traditions hardly ever heard of fasting, because it was the reaction against the oppressive yoke of required fasting. Now, provided that we watch out for dangers of legalism, there's still value in a regular fast. And so a regular fast of some kind, it could be once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month, once a season. This can free up valuable time and energy for spiritual renewal. I know of one seminary professor, for example, who gave up every day his midday lunch meal. It was just a standing fast, and he went off to meet with God in prayer in some way or another. You see, some kind of regular rhythm of fasting can be a needed tonic to your body and soul to draw you nearer to God. And so if you've never fasted, let me challenge you right now to schedule at least a partial fast. During the next 30 days is a great time. It may be just once a week or a couple times a week or throughout this whole month. I have found it so helpful every winter to do it for the 40 days leading up to Easter. I like a partial fast, especially that time, because I can still go to work, look normal, nobody notices, but I feel it. And you can work through the day feeling the fast, being drawn nearer to God. Oh, there's one more occasion when or how often you should fast. The Bible does record occasions when the church calls for a public fast. There are times in the Bible there's a special need or an emergency, and they call Christians, believers, to do their best to gather and participate. King Jehoshaphat called the nation to fast when Judah was invaded, 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 4. The city of Nineveh, remember that in the book of Jonah, undertakes a citywide fast, including the animals, as a result of Jonah's preaching. Believers are called to fast during times of national or spiritual crisis. Every time the Bible records a public emergency met by public fasting, we see God delivering his people. Is there a serious crisis? Does the church have a special need? That would be a great time for church leaders to call the church to pray and fast. And so in closing, that's why every year, Good Friday, the elders usually call a public call to prayer and fasting on Good Friday. This year, it's April 3rd, a day of prayer and fasting. And so whether you even do it just that one day or throughout the next 30 days or from various times, would you consider how you can draw near to God through prayer and fasting? Maybe God wants you to fast for the very first time this month or that Good Friday. Try a partial fast. Get rid of delicacies. Skip a meal. Go off to pray. Or only drink juice that day. Maybe you're up to a normal fast. Maybe a total fast. However you do it, let the hunger and thirst of fasting make you hunger and thirst for God. And join us all, elders to the youngest in the church, to pray for revival, to pray for renewal, to pray for refreshment, to pray for our Easter service, that God would send many from our community, first-time guests and others, to come that day to hear the gospel preached and to know Christ in a saving way. Wouldn't it be great to see friends and neighbors pack this gymnasium to raise voices of worship with us and to hear Christ proclaimed? Let Christ draw near to us as we draw near to him. So let us pray fast, and now let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for your teaching about the means of grace, the word, sacraments, and prayer. Prayer while standing, prayer while sitting, prayer in the morning, prayer by night, prayer with our eyes open, prayer with our eyes closed, prayers with fasting, or prayers with full stomachs. We pray, O Lord, for the gift of prayer with fasting, that it would draw us nearer to you and to Jesus Christ, and that grace would be our possession. Thank you, O Lord, for hearing this prayer. We pray in Jesus' name, and let us all say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151. Or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.